We are going to find our scripture reading from the letter to the Philippians. It's a well-known verse, I believe. I would like us to read chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 11. I will just share some thoughts on verse 7 and 8. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It reads as follows. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, this I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Colleagues, when I got the message, unfortunately I'm not a professor like Prof. Jarth, because Prof. Jarth used to say, if I were to preach from this text, and then he started saying what he was about to say to us. But I'm not going to say that because I'm not a professor. I'm still a student myself. I'm still learning. We get this scripture, the letter to the Philippians. As we know the background of the place, it is said that it is the first place where the gospel was preached in Europe. In other words, when Paul was evangelizing, the first city to be evangelized in Europe, it was Philippi. And probably the first Christian church that was planted there. It is here where Paul and Silas, one day when they were walking, a Sangoma girl just moved after them, and she said, "These are the servants of the Lord." And they cast out the demon, and they were imprisoned. It is the very same place where Paul, as I'm saying, as I'm wearing my uniform, I would say he was charged, because we charge people when we arrest them. He was charged with public disorder, because they said he's causing the city, or they are rendering the city into disorder, because they were introducing this powerful gospel that was not known by the people of the city, that was not known by the people that time. And unfortunately for the family of that slave girl, they had lost income. Well, fortunately for the girl, because she was delivered from the slavery of demons. Now, this among the reasons. When Paul wrote this letter, he wrote this letter while he was in prison, trying to reassure the Philippians that the arrest that he was arrested was not a setback for the gospel. And he was thanking them for the gift that was sent to him. Because this church was looking after Paul. This church was sending gifts when Paul was in prison. Then he realized that there was a danger that was looming to the church. There was a danger that the church would be drifting away because there were those who still clung to the belief system of the Jews, who clung to the belief system of circumcision. So now he was trying to warn the church that be careful of such people. When those people are boasting about doing whatever that they are doing, I'm better than them because I did more. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was circumcised on the eighth day. One preacher once said Paul here was telling them his CV. I'm not sure about that, but it was said that he was telling them about his CV. In other words, he was telling them what he achieved while he was still a non-Christian, while he was still a Jew. Now, he was warning the church that they should be careful of what would be happening or what would be coming to them. Now, as we focus on this verse, Paul here, when we look at chapter 3, verse 5, he says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. According to the law of the Jews, he found himself blameless. And Pharisees were people who were respected in those days. Pharisees were religious people who were honored in those days. They were the gurus of the time. They were the fathers of the church. People were looking up to them. When anything has to do with spirituality, they were looking up to them. Then he tells them that they are not more than me. I was also a Pharisee. Maybe some of these people who are misleading you, they were even not Pharisees. I'm better than them because I was in the ranks of a Pharisee. I was respected amongst the Jews. Then I was blameless according to the law. But he says, I count everything as a loss. Whatever things were gained to me, these things were like, when we speak about a makeup, you know, when we talk about a makeup, when you look at the phrase makeup on the dictionary, it will say reconstruction. You know, when ladies are putting a makeup on themselves, they are actually reconstructing themselves. Now, here, these things were like a makeup to Paul because they were making him to be what he thought he is. But after accepting Christ, after realizing Christ, after accepting Christ as his personal savior, he looked at these things and he counted them as loss. They were no more of gain to him because he realized that Christ was more important than these things. Christ was more important than holding upon these things. Now, these various things, they are many according to the language we find here. In other words, he also had some privileges. Because one day we heard that he was having letters of arresting Christians. So he had some privileges. Maybe in some of the places, I don't know if they had passports that time, but maybe in some of the places, he was not even asked who he was because he had some privileges. But he says, I counted all those things as a loss. In other words, these things were like a makeup. They were making him up, but he counted them as a loss. And he might have felt more fortunate than other people. You know, sometimes as pastors, you pastor a church, you go to a church where you are called to pastor in this church. One elder comes and welcomes you, and he tells you, my grandfather was born in this church. I was also born in this church. Then automatically he's telling you that I'm actually known here. I know this place. I'm as old as furniture of this place. Then when you listen to that, sometimes it's intimidating. Sometimes it intimidates you. Now, when you feel that I am new in this place, maybe and my father was a sangoma, and my grandfather was an inyanga, and my grandfather was a witch. I'm just saying. You don't know these people. You don't have a pastor in your family. Somebody comes and tell you, I'm a fifth generation pastor. I'm not saying it's wrong, because I'm also a third generation pastor in my family. It is by grace, of course. Now, he had some privileges. He felt good about these things. Then they could be giving him more advantage to others. But he says, by the knowledge of Christ, for the sake of knowing Christ, I count them as loss. I have lost. He says, I suffered loss. You see, for Christ, you have to suffer losing some of the things. Many people claim to have Christ. They have accepted Christ, but they have not lost anything. They still have their ego. They still have their pride. They still have their all things you can say. They still have this pride of their culture. They still lift their culture above Christianity. They still lift their ego above every other thing. But this man, Apostle Paul, he says, I have counted it as a loss for the sake of Christ. The phrase counted, I have, it's in a past participle. I have counted, in other ways, the action that has happened. I'm still reaping the results of the action that has taken place. Not that it has done, then it's over. Because he continued to say, I count it loss. He still said, I count it loss. He first said, I have counted it as a loss. In other words, I lost those things. They are no more of worth to me. They are no more working for me. Because I know Christ better than any other things. And knowing Christ, we don't have to preach and tell people, live this and that and that and that. Christ himself, it's his duty. When he comes, he knows what to deal with. When he comes, he knows what to tell people. But many times we think we want to do the work of the Holy Spirit. We want to do the work of Jesus Christ. And Christ, when he comes, he asks us, we don't have to do his work. When he comes, you see, when you have rats in your house, you get a cat somewhere. You don't tell the cat and say, you must look there. You must also check. No, you just put the cat in the house and the rat will just know what to do. That's how the gospel comes into the life of a person. When the gospel of Christ comes, when Jesus comes, there has to be a difference. Now, this man, Apostle Paul, says, I have lost all these things, the result of which continues. And he used to regard these things, the outward privileges, one by one, as, you know, as like accolades. When he counts them here, you know, amendebele. In Ndebele culture, sometimes there are meetings where you are not going to speak. Because before you can speak, they ask you, have you gone to the initiation school? If not, you might be having a good idea, but unfortunately, we can't listen to you because we can't listen to a boy. That's how Amandebele, that's how they are. That's how our culture is. But now that I'm born again, I don't have to cling myself back to those things. I don't have to say, no, I don't listen to boys. But I have to listen to the voice that comes, that speaks to me. Yeah. Now he says, I count them as loss for the excellence of knowing Christ. He considers them, the language that was used there, rubbish. Well, when you look at the original, they say, the original phrase there was dung, you know, something, excretion, something that is unwanted, something that when you deliver it, you don't even check how is it, you just deliver and go. Now, that's how Paul describes these things. That's how Paul describes this, that these things, I don't have to look at them, I have delivered them, I must move on. I must move forward. Now, the knowledge of Christ. When we speak about the knowledge of Christ, you see, knowledge is about intellectual understanding, personal experience, emotional knowledge, personal relationship. All those phrases, they define knowledge of Christ. But Paul here, he speaks about the experience that he had with Jesus Christ. When he speaks about the knowledge of Christ, remember, brothers and sisters, when he went to the Areopagus, he went there and he looked at these people and they had some altars. He said to them, I can see you are so religious. You have many gods. You have maybe a god of this and a god of that and a god. And there's an altar that I've seen there. The altar of the unknown God. But I'm here to proclaim that God that you serve not knowing. Because he already knew that God. These people were worshipping, but they were worshipping something they don't know. They were worshipping a God they do not know. But when he came, he said, I'm here to declare that God. I'm here to proclaim the very same God that you worship, not knowing. Unfortunately, even today, we still have many people who know about God. And they preach about the God they know about. But they don't preach about the God they know. You see, it's a different thing. It's something to know about God. And it's something else to know God. When you speak about knowing God, it's when you know him personally. You know what he has done in your life. That's why somebody, when he sings, he says, I will never, when I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore. Because he knows what the Lord has done to him. One blind man, he was carrying his mat on a Sabbath. Then they said to him, who told you to carry this thing? After all, you were blind. What happened to you? Then he said, the man who healed me said, I must carry this. Then they said, but that man is a sinner. He said, that is a sinner, I don't know. But what I know, I was blind. Now I see. He knows the man. What I know, I was blind. But now, I see. So, colleagues, brothers, forgive me for saying colleagues. I hope you are not offended. I'm always preaching to the colleagues at the station. So they are my colleagues. So, here we have principals and deans and you. Those are seniors. When I'm here, I'm a student, so I have to. You will forgive me, Dr. Brian, and the management of the college. There's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. The world out there, it needs men and women who will proclaim the God they know. They need people who will proclaim the Jesus they know. You see, brothers and sisters who are studying to be pastors, out there, good rough. Out there, it's rough. It's tough. The economy is even worse. The economy of the country is falling. There's no money. So if you are going out there to look for money, I think you are in a wrong career. Because we have to know where the money comes from. The money comes from God. It never comes from the church. You see, sometimes we fight with our churches, thinking that they are the ones that are supposed to pay us. And they did not call us. We are called by God. We just have to go back to the one who called us and said, here am I. I'm suffering. I need this and this and this. I'm sorry, but I've said it. Now, Paul was actually comparing the greatness of the gospel and what he had in the past. When he looked at what he had in the past, he saw it as nothing. He saw it as rubbish. Then he clung to what the gospel was teaching. Now, as I'm about to close now, when you read from Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the book there says, the people who know their God shall do great exploits. The people who know their God shall do great exploits. Elsewhere, Paul speaks to the church of Corinth when he tells them that we no longer know Christ from the flesh, but we know Christ from the Spirit. And we also know each other from the Spirit. You see, knowledge is very much important. We have to know according to the standard of God, not according to our standard. Sometimes we judge each other because we look at each other. Who is he? I know him. His pastor was an Inyanga. How can he tell me about Christ? Who is he? They forget that the grace of God locates people wherever. You might not be deserving, but God, when the grace of God locates you, it does not matter how is your background. Sometimes these days you find people chasing people away from the church. You find people saying, this man has been made a scrap by the sin. The sin has made him a scrap. He's now a scrap. He can't even laugh properly. His teeth are not enough. He can't even look properly. He's got one eye. He can't even walk properly. He's got one leg. Because of sin, now he looks at himself. He thinks he's dying. Now he comes to church. They forget one thing, that Christ came for the sinners. Those are the people Christ is looking for. Christ is looking for people who are tired of their sins. He's here to save such people. Now he says, I have considered it so that I can gain Christ. When he says gaining Christ, does not mean that he was not born again. But he was talking, you see, when we speak about the knowledge, 1 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, where it speaks about the knowledge of Christ, I think Peter divides it correctly when he speaks about knowing the content and knowing Christ personally. You see, knowing what Christ has done to you or what Christ has done for us, and also what is contained in the gospel. It's very important to know what is contained in the gospel of Christ. Now, as I said, I'm about to conclude now. Knowing somebody is not like I saw him at the Kwaha Mall or at the complex, therefore I know him. No. That's not knowing somebody. But you have to get acquainted to the person. Sometimes we claim that I know this man. When he's angry, he sweats. When he starts sweating, you must know he's angry. Just run away. I know him. But the truth of the matter is, you will find pastors who usually counsel people. You will find a couple of 35 years, they've been married. And the wife comes and says, I thought I know this man, I don't know him. I thought I know this man, but I really don't know him. And the husband will say likewise, I thought I know her, but I don't know him. Because people change all the time. Sometimes we hide our feelings. Sometimes we hide our joys and we have secrets. But Jeremiah 9 verse 24, he says, let him that glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Let him that glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. How do we know God? We know him from the Word. We know him from his Word, through the interpretation of the Holy Spirit. That's where we know him. We cannot claim to know God if we are not eating his word all the time. This is where we have to eat. This is where, after eating, we have to apply the word to ourselves. You know, as pastors, we have to be like doves. You know, birds are different. Others carry food and fly and give to the kids. But doves, they eat and swallow and move with the food and give to the kids what they have eaten. They know how delicious this food is. Then they give to the children. Oh, doves do not have children. They have chicks. They give to their chicks. They enjoy this, then they give to them. We also have to eat and enjoy and know, see, that the Lord is good. May we close our eyes. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are so great. We pray that you may help us to know you better and better. Your understanding, Heavenly Father, is too high. We cannot finish you. But we thank you through the help of the Holy Spirit that you always teach us, that you always guide us, that you always lead us. Help us to always eat from your word, and also the knowledge that we have acquired, the knowledge of Christ, that it may flow to other people, that it may flow to the churches we are serving, the people we are preaching to, the community we are serving. Heavenly Father, we ask this in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior. We also pray for the ministry. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We have heard of many satellites that have been opened where people are trained from this college. We bless your mighty name. We glorify you that all these people that are coming here, help us, Heavenly Father, to know you in the way you want us to know you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.